I'm 67. The 29th of April 2020 to the 28th of April 2021. Over. Today, I banned the word proud. By Matthew Ivany. 29th of April 2020. Happy birthday to me. The National Hibernation has put a pause on the world tour. Let's call it half time. But to be honest, the prospect of spending the foreseeable future at home with the family instead of wandering the earth pretending to sweep the streets and bellowing at strangers might not be entirely a bad thing. 7th of September 2020. New school term. No matter how many times we go through the ritual of marking our children's official ageing at the end of the summer holiday, or how resistant we think we are to the pull of nostalgia, it's hard not to reflect on the lives of our younger selves. I went to art school, as you know, spent 3 years at art school, and those 3 years, I think, in most people's lives, frames the way they perceive themselves and the way they perceive the world. And those 3 years affected me. A lot of the time, I've been in denial about the fact that they had. But I didn't spend my teenage years dreaming about being in a rock band. That stuff almost happened by accident. Not that I was ever in a rock band as such, but you know what I mean. And I know that it's informed everything, everything that I've done along the way. The right to change one's mind is fundamental to creative momentum. Although the ritual repainting of the 25 paintings every year has trapped me in a cycle of having no art for sale and more reliant than ever on performance, more being Bill Drummond. 10th of December 2020. Bill loves Elvis. When Elvis died, I had this idea that if Colonel Tom Parker were to cut him up and sell him in inch cubes whilst he kept him in storage. I've always been drawn to that idea. How much would I pay for a cube of Elvis? I don't know how much I'd value a cube of Elvis, but I think it'd be a fantastic thing. I actually think that it'd be a brilliant thing. A cube of Elvis! And you could see it in a gallery, frozen. You could come and see it, or you could buy it on eBay. Although, obviously, there wasn't eBay back then. 6th of January, 2021. I've always loved walking. It appeals to my sense of purpose and my inclination to persuade myself into situations I can't back out of. Plot a line on the map and take yourself from A to B via C, D and E. So the current government mandated exercise regime is a welcomed opportunity to venture out beyond the supermarket. Richard Long must be in his element. He came to the gallery in Bristol when I was doing How to Be an Artist, and I wouldn't have recognised him. A bloke came in and he had a Richard Long t-shirt over his sweater. I thought, obviously, he's a Richard Long fan. And he said, "So what is going on here?" I was explaining and he turned to his girlfriend or his wife or whatever. And amazingly, they bought a bit of it back. And he got one of the blank bits. I should get the sulfur web page working again. Another project abandoned to the march of time. 31st of January, 2021. What has become of my careers? Career? One career? I don't reflect on it. I just get on with the business of doing it. I don't like nostalgia. I don't like old records. I don't like... Maybe I might be afraid of stopping, and actually thinking that way is a kind of death in a sense. Most people who've had any involvement in pop music try and spend a lot of the time after they've had their 15 minutes trying to get that back again, or trying to relive that, or trying to compete with that. Or I'm pleased. Pleased that I'm not in that position. And that's partly because this wasn't something I desperately wanted to do since I was a teenager. 23rd of February, 2021. Beginning to feel the pressure of staying at home for so long. What's the use of a free bus pass if you can't get on the bus? My favourite route is the 17, from Holloway Road to London Bridge via Pentonville Prison. Obviously, it used to be another number, but there's no room for that anymore. Things evolve, things change. You can only give so much of your life to one particular number. 8th of March, 2021. Is this whole pen kiln burn thing a vanity project? I know there's an audience for my writing. Largely the same breed of middle-aged former music fanatics that have been tricked into writing this memoir. Am I taking advantage of their eagerness to get involved? To touch the hem of my garment? Could I persuade them to provide the very material that my garment is made from? Must write that down. Would that be too extravagant? In a sense, my whole life has been an extravagance. I'm very extravagant in the sense I'm always attempting to do. Well, we all attempt to do what we want to do, but that's not what you as a reader want, is it? You want the biggest bottle of champagne or the biggest lump of cocaine or the most expensive whore. But I haven't done any of those things. I'm not aware that I've ever wasted a penny. I'm dedicated to writing, but I never find it easy. I don't feel I'm prolific. Don't wait to be asked. Go out and do something. If you want to do something, do it. While we were writing the manual, that's how I felt. For my generation, there was a book. I can't remember what it is called now. But it had the same influence on me. And I wanted to try and write something like that. I know lots of people who've read it and just enjoyed it as a laugh, but taken that thing from it, that it gave them the inclination to do a magazine or whatever it is. Start a band. Break all the rules that were supposedly the rules in the book. You know. Ideas improve. The meaning of words has a part in the improvement. Plagiarism is necessary. Progress demands it. Staying close to an author's phrasing. Plagiarism exploits his expressions, erases false ideas, replaces them with the correct ideas. 28th of April, 2021. 68 tomorrow. Still indoors. Will the world tour be completed? Lockdown aside, I'm not getting any younger. The paintings and I could remain closer to home. Take in the sea air. Ride the roller coaster in Great Yarmouth again. Get Tenzin to write a play about bowls of soup or something. And see if we can get Erin to bring the role to life. I wonder who I'll be next year.
Under Charity Shop Thursday by Stephen Dauphin, with thanks to Helen Murray. For several months during my 67th year, I volunteered once a week in a local charity shop. The charity shop was your typical musty, poorly lit establishment with a counter halfway along one wall and several shelves around the edges of the room. The shelves were stacked with various items that had been donated by well-meaning do-gooders, people who had decided to declutter and bring in unwanted items such as a dusty teapot shaped like an elephant. Biographies of celebrities that I couldn't care less about sat on the shelves alongside children's DVDs, boxes of jigsaws, and board games. In the time I worked there, I got to know a few of the regular patrons. Some of these characters came in regularly looking for a bargain or just for a chat about the weather. One short, smartly dressed, middle-aged man called Pear, at least that's what I think he said, visited every couple of weeks to browse through the music, LP albums and CDs, and chat about the kind of music he liked. He seemed especially keen on British rock and pop from the 80s to the 90s. When something from this period came in, whether a battered copy of Ocean Rain by Echo and the Bunnymen, or a pristine copy of Peggy Suicide by Julian Cope, he had to, in his own words, rescue it from the fate of being an abandoned neighbour to James Last, Val Dunigan, or Jeff Love and his orchestra. We regularly chatted about various bands from the past, and whilst tempted to share my first-hand stories about the British music industry, I never did. Nor did I admit I had been in a successful pop act during the early 90s. Whenever he bought anything, which was usually every visit, instead of a wallet, he pulled a tatty brown envelope out, from which emerged a pristine £50 note. Although we weren't supposed to accept £50 notes, I had seen a fair few of them in my time and was confident in my ability to spot counterfeits. Pear usually left in a hurry, saying he had to get back to his princess, or rather generously never wanted change for his purchases. To the casual observer, he gave the impression of a harmless eccentric who liked the sound of his own voice. I, on the other hand, thought he was a pleasant man who had too much spare time and cash on his hands. My favourite parts of the shop are the six rails from which hang the many clothes which are either out of season or even out of time. I find immense satisfaction from organising the garments into collections such as men's shirts, women's skirts, men's trousers and so on. I like to run my hand across the various fabrics and imagine the different owners of every item. Who was the wearer? What was their name? What did they do whilst wearing these items? I like the calmness of the shop on Thursdays, which is usually quiet and leaves me plenty of time to think and write down my thoughts on life. The noisy entrance of a tall, middle-aged lady struggling with several bin bags disturbed my peace one February day in 2020. Lady, excuse me, where should I leave these? Me, just by that bead curtain at the back of the shop, if you don't mind. Do you need a hand? Lady, well, yes, please, that would be helpful. These clothes were my poor husband's before he passed. They're in excellent condition. You should be able to sell them for a good price. Me. Oh, I'm sorry to hear that. Was it sudden, his passing? Lady. I don't want to talk about it. It's none of your business. Can't you just take these bags off me without engaging in conversation? I didn't know what else to say, so I helped her carry three of the bulging bin bags, which were already tearing under the weight of the material within. On this particular day, I was on my own. Maureen, my fellow Thursday volunteer, had rung in sick, as she had woken with an unexpected severe headache and irritating cough, which she later told me she couldn't shake off, and which had left her rather breathless and exhausted for several days. When the woman had left, I set to work, inspecting the contents of each bag, wondering what kind of man had been the husband of the tall, well-dressed lady. In amongst the usual brogues, trousers and shirts with old-fashioned collars were several suit jackets and overcoats, all of which looked clean, barely worn and well looked after. Whilst pricing the new stock, I noticed that one jacket felt heavier than it should have. I placed my hand into the inner pocket of the coat and found a thickly stuffed, tatty brown envelope. The envelope had no discernible marks on its outside. I opened the envelope and was only mildly surprised to find it was full of money. I took the envelope into the back room and emptied the contents on the table. There must have been around 60 50-pound notes in the envelope. My first thought was to dash outside and see if I could spot the tall, thin, middle-aged lady. My second thought was to put the money in the till and tell the manager at the end of the day. Instead, I did neither and placed the envelope into my bag. The following week, when I turned up for work, the manager asked me if I could remember taking in a donation of men's clothes from a tall, posh lady the previous Thursday. I swallowed guiltily and looked into the manager's eyes, wondering if I'd been found out. I answered that I wasn't sure, and was there anything wrong? The manager told me that a woman had come into the shop asking for the Scotsman with the blue shirt and jeans. I shifted uneasily in my boots. The manager explained that the lady had returned to apologise for becoming upset in the shop and hadn't wanted to appear rude. "She hadn't been rude," I said.